views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
Find your path to wholeness with Universe Soul Heart Radio, sensible spirituality for everyday living. Join Kathleen Johnson as she discusses how to integrate spirituality into our lives, allowing our true selves to flourish, grow, and impact all we do on planet Earth. Kathleen will guide listeners through such topics as Reiki, meditation, soul evolution and growth, past life exploration, energy healing, spiritual guidance, and more. Universe Soul Heart Radio. Learn to live life in balance from the ground up.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. This is Kathleen Johnson, and you are listening to Universal Heart Radio on Transformation Talk Radio. Thank you so much for sharing a part of your day with us. And if you've been with us before, welcome back. And if this is your first time listening, welcome, and I'm delighted you're here. I really am grateful for all my listeners, and I hope you can join us every month as we explore the concept of sensible spirituality and what it means to me and to my listeners. In a nutshell, I could describe sensible spirituality as fully living our lives on the earth plane, while at the same time understanding and embracing our true nature, which is that of spiritual beings having a human experience and not the other way around. That's important to remember. So also, when we begin to understand and accept that simple concept and apply it to our daily lives, something amazing happens. We actually begin to shift our perspective into a higher vibration, and that allows us to view our lives through the lens of a spiritual being living a human life on planet Earth. A shift in perspective changes everything, as it elevates and helps to clarify much of what we experience when we're in a human body. And I'm very likely preaching to the choir here when I say that living in a human body on planet Earth can be incredibly difficult, but it can also be incredibly beautiful and joyful. And shifting from a human perspective to a soul perspective can really make the difference and bring back much of the beauty and joy that life really does offer. So each month's show will feature a discussion of ways that we can incorporate and bring spirituality into your everyday life as it helps you to flourish and grow while living your life in balance from the ground up. The concept of sensible spirituality is not about having special talents, gifts, abilities, skills. No. Sensible spirituality is something we all have access to. Spirituality is, it's our birthright, is who we are. So every month we explore different ways of working with our innate spirituality in sensible everyday ways that can really make a difference in our lives. If you'd like more information about this, I invite you to visit my website at www.universesoulheart.net, and I would really love to hear from you. It'd be great to connect. Thank you very much for being here. And I am very excited to have today's guest with us. It's an encore appearance by Dr. Linda Backman. If you caught our December show, you may remember that Dr. Backman was here and discussed reincarnation, past life karma, and how it affects our current lives. It really was an exciting and thought-provoking episode, and it's available as a podcast if you missed the live episode. And we ran out of time long before we ran out of topics. So Dr. Backman graciously agreed to return and talk with us today about soul evolution, soul pods or families, and your life's purpose. Now, these topics are fascinating, and having some knowledge about them can help to provide new perspectives, there's that word again, and help you live your life with a focus on spiritual growth and evolution as you navigate life on Earth. So I felt that this is a perfect topic for my Sensible Spirituality show, and Dr. Linda Backman is truly the perfect guest to guide us through this. She is a psychologist, a soul regression therapist, an author. Her third book is coming out in August. And she's an internationally recognized teacher of soul evolution. Dr. Linda Backman is an all-around amazing individual, and I say that without hesitation. And she's also my teacher, I'm proud to say. I've been working with Linda for over 10 years now, and not only is she my teacher, but she has been and continues to be an important mentor in my life and on my spiritual path. So I'm really simply delighted to have Linda back on the show today. Let's welcome Dr. Linda Backman to Universal Heart Radio. Hello, Linda. How are you?
Hi there. You know, I call you Kathy as opposed to Kathleen. This is just a pleasure, and I really mean that, to come back and expand what we talked about in December. So thank you for inviting me back. I'm thrilled to be here.
Oh, I could do this every month, Linda. It would be fun. We'd probably still have run out of time before we run out of topics. And we did run out of time on the December show, so it's really wonderful to have you back to continue exploring the topic of soul evolution. And, you know, one of the areas we wanted to cover in more detail is that of our spiritual guides. And I'm sure that many of our listeners are familiar with the term and the concept. I would love for you to tell us more about our guides and how they contribute to our evolution as souls. I mean, how does that happen? First of all, how are our guides determined?
Well, good. Well, I first and foremost, the overriding comment is that we all have spiritual guides, almost always more than one, because as a soul, you know, I think in pictures, Kathy. So I think about, okay, so let's just say, Kathy and I both have children, even though our children are much older. But so
right.
Each of us took our children to school. Let's just say we took them to kindergarten. And when a child or an incarnate soul is 5 years old. So that person, if we're talking in analogies, so all of you out there, if you've had children or you have friends or family with children, when you take your child to kindergarten when they're 5 years old, you've supported your child the whole way through those 5 years. You've held them, you've rocked them, you've fed them, you've sung to them, et cetera, et cetera. Then you entrust them with a teacher, with a kindergarten teacher. And so you walk your child into the classroom and you say, here's my beloved daughter or son. The bottom line of what I'm trying to say is whether we're a soul, let me see if I can, it's so funny how my own guides start guiding me, and I don't want to make this too complicated. If we're a new soul, let's just say we are a quote-unquote, and I put baby in quotes, we're a baby soul, meaning we've not incarnated at all yet. We're prepared to incarnate. We're prepared by our guides. Then we take that first step into a human lifetime or into an embodiment, into an incarnation. And there are additional guides. There's that kindergarten teacher. Maybe there's that resource teacher. So bottom line is, originally early on, to go all the way back, I'm making this probably too complicated, to go all the way back, how are our guides determined? When we're a young soul, we're handed an initial guide. We have a teacher, someone who supports us, loves us, is basically keeping an eye out over us, if you will. And that guide is determined at a higher level. So initially, for whether it's Kathy or me or any one of you listening, before you incarnated, you might say, given or assigned a guide. That guide is always more evolved than you, and that guide is going to stay with you, perhaps through all of your incarnations. So essentially it's determined at a level higher than we are.
I see. And I guess what I'm getting from what you said, what I'm inferring is that do our guides change across the course of our lifetime? I know you said at the beginning that we have usually more than one, but do they change then?
Yes, they can change, and I think it's probably easier for people, you know, trying to make this clear, because I'm sure some of the people listening are thinking, well, who is my guide, or who are my guides? So let me just simplify it to say we always have at least one guide, and more often than not, we have a team of guides. And the main guide that works with us, our lead guide, evolves, if we have moved from soul level of evolution, let's just say stage one, or think about it like first grade. If we've moved from first grade to 10th grade, and think about that like school, then we're more evolved. That means we often are assigned a new guide or a more evolved guide who fits what we need when we're more evolved. So sometimes our original guide stays with us, and sometimes that original guide changes.
That makes a lot of sense. It's like, you know, you go in kindergarten, you have a teacher, but when you leave kindergarten to go to first grade, you have a different teacher because that one better meets your needs in first grade, et cetera, et cetera. So it would make sense that a kindergartner has very different needs than a 10th grader, and I would imagine it's easily applicable to our souls. I mean, yes, as you so clearly stated, that, yeah, we change. We have different needs, and as our souls evolve, so do our need for certain types of guides, correct?
That's totally correct.
That makes a lot of sense. It actually makes a lot of sense even in 3D reality, which is a nice thing. So that helps. Do you have any sense or any idea of whether our guides have a physical appearance? I know I have been asked this by clients and students, and I'm just wondering what your response to that would be.
Okay, good. I think that's a great question, because probably a lot of people are thinking, well, I don't know if I have a guide, or I don't sense my guide, or I sense this strange appearance. You know, is that really my guide? So, you know, first and foremost, I think it's always important to say, as humans, we try to explain things in human language and in human understanding, because what do we have? We have a human brain, and that's all we have to use. So bottom line is, we're never without a guide. We're never alone. But if we could get a sense of the appearance of our guide, then I want people to think in really broad terms. So our guide is a soul. You know, plain and simple, our guide is a soul. A soul is pure energy. A soul is pure divine energy. But because we're intuitive beings when we're in body, we have the ability sometimes to, quote unquote, see, like clairvoyance, see our guide. Sometimes we have we can almost like feel the energy of our guide. Maybe we don't see our guide. That's okay. Sometimes we just sense our guide through thought. So, you know, I'm hoping people, you know, grasp that we don't have to see our guide. We might sense our guide in all kinds of ways, from emotion to thought. When I've heard people describe, as I'm sure you have too, Kathy, when I've heard people describe their guide, sometimes the description is human. You know, it appears human, a man in a robe, a woman in a, you know, gossamer appearance. But then it's broader than that. Guides can be from the angelic realm. So they can look in an appearance that we would call like an angel. Sometimes guides almost feel like they have wings. Do they really have wings? Well, probably not. But guides can come from different spiritual realms. Sometimes our guides show up as animals. Sometimes they show up as any kind of an animal. Sometimes they show up.
Spirit animals. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Spirit animals. Spirit animal guides, of course. Sure.
Totally. Uh-huh. And sometimes energy. Sometimes a color.
Right.
Sometimes a light. It doesn't
feeling.
Matter.
Right, yep. A feeling.
An
that's
emotion.
Sometimes how I sense mine, just a feeling, an emotion, just that sense of an energy changing, a shift, you know? So, yeah, anyway, it doesn't have to be a visual, and that's maybe of a comfort to those out there who don't visualize easily, not to worry. So,
right.
Now, we are already at our first break, so I'd like to pick this up when we come back. We always have a lot to talk about, and today is no exception. So we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Universal Heart Radio with Kathleen Johnson, and we're going to come back to continue and explore the fascinating story of your soul and its family. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Have you ever said to a friend, "I am trying to be less stressed. I am hoping to meet someone special." Or how about, "I am working on getting a job I love." Hi, I'm Eve from Elite Tarot, host of the weekly show Mainstream Metaphysics Radio. Words like hoping, wanting, and trying may seem innocent. However, they carry with them emotional weight that actually blocks energy. Next time you start to say these words, say instead, "I am becoming less stressed. I am looking forward to meeting someone special. I am pursuing a job I love." While your brain may resist, note how your body physically feels as possibility of success suddenly appears. As an intuitive coach and professional tarot card reader, I work with clients worldwide on using energy effectively to embrace joy. If you'd like to schedule a session, please visit my website at elitetarot.com. That's ElitetarotTarot.com.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
The Janice Underwood Show, helping you create the life you want, not the life you tolerate. Tune in each Monday, 9 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as Janice delves into the life creator system and the next step in your spiritual evolution. Janice Underwood is gifted at helping spiritually minded people shift their mindsets to unleash the creator within. Our souls wish to wake us up. Those of us listening hear the call. Do you? For more information, visit JaniceUnderwood.com.
Hello, we're back on Universal Heart Radio with Kathleen Johnson, and my guest today is Dr. Linda Backman, who's talking with us about soul evolution, spirit guides, and very soon we'll be discussing our soul families and our life's purpose. So welcome back. And Linda, before we get started again, could you please tell our listeners how they can best get in touch with you?
Sure. Easiest way, Kathy, is my website, and it's Raven, like the bird, R-A-V, as in Victor, E-N, Raven, heart, like the heart in your chest, center, ravenheartcenter.com. Yeah.
Oh, Great, thank you. The easiest way then is right through Linda's website, ravenheartcenter.com. Thank you. So we were talking about our spirit guides, our spiritual guides, however you wish to say it. You explained how souls are energy, so a physical appearance may be created by us in order to have a tangible idea of who our guide is and what he or she looks like. One thing I am curious about, and I am a little fuzzy on this, is how does soul become a guide? How does that happen, and is there a particular process for that, or, you know, how does it happen?
Yes. Okay, so how it happens is, as you know, for anyone who listened in December, and if you didn't listen in December, the simple explanation is we come into body lifetime to lifetime to grow and evolve as a soul. So we come into body, it's like soul school, except it happens on in body, and we are both advancing in wisdom, we are balancing karma, and we're embracing what we've learned in past lives, which is called dharma. Basically, that's how you become a guide. So when we sense our guide, however it is we sense, you know, whatever, whether it's a picture in our mind or a thought or a feeling, I get sometimes a physical sensation in my body. I get a pressure on one of my shoulder blades when one of my guides is trying to get my attention. That guide, I'm thinking about my own main guide, my main guide became a guide by evolving in body. So essentially, we're all working on becoming guides. The purpose is to grow and evolve as a soul, and then the purpose is to gain higher wisdom so that essentially we can guide and teach and support and love souls that are continuing to incarnate. So it's really just that simple.
Wow. Yeah, you make it sound so easy. But I would imagine that becoming a guide would probably happen over quite a few lifetimes of incarnating, correct?
Oh, very good. I mean, that's a great comment.
Yeah.
That's why you and I are a good team, Kathy. It could take hundreds, if not thousands of years. Of Earth
right.
years. Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's what I thought, because, yeah, it's a school, as you said, an earth school, a soul school, and we have to go through all the grades, all the levels, all the education, the lessons, et cetera, before we get to that place where we can become a guide for others, right?
That's exactly correct. You know, it's sort of like you can't be a university professor without graduating from high school, graduating from, you know, with an undergraduate degree and going on to get a graduate degree. That's an analogy with guides. Same thing.
Right. It makes sense. It really does. I mean, you want to, the person who is guiding you, or the, I guess the energy that is guiding you, is going to be one that has evolved more than you, of course, so they can adequately guide us and appropriately guide us, and that just seems to make perfect sense, even on planet Earth, and I love that. So ultimately, I guess everyone who's incarnated on planet Earth and doing their lessons and hopefully succeeding at them has the potential to become a spirit guide.
That's absolutely right, and I think probably everybody listening knows that learning our lessons isn't always easy. So, you know, the more challenging actually our life is, oftentimes the more we're evolving. But evolution is not a piece of cake. It's not like, you know, learn to spell, you know, I and me and you pass the spelling bee. It's like learn to spell supercalifragilisticexpialidocious kind of thing. So,
and then backwards.
That's right.
Right. Yes, I know. And it is interesting that you bring up the concept of the challenging lives being the ones that have the most growth potential. And I know this is something I talk with my clients about. And And the look I get from them is one of like horror, like, really? Oh, is this why all this is happening with me? And that type of thing. And but it's true. I think that the challenging lives really offer the most potential. And when we look back on our lives as we, you know, grow and get older and all, and we can see how the deep learning has occurred through those challenging times.
You know, it's that classic thing sometimes, I'm sure you hear from clients as you are, Kathy, sometimes people will say, since I've survived this, whether it's the death of someone close or it's a terrible illness that balances itself out, it's like, if I have survived this, I can deal with anything. And
yes.
We can reach that point, you know, to one degree or another.
I can relate to that personally. So,
it's like, too.
I've lived through, you know, fill in the blank, whatever it may be. So,
right.
Yes, you know, I feel like I can pretty much handle, I guess I shouldn't say that because you never know what the universe has in store. But you just feel like you're stronger, you're more resilient, and you're better able to withstand the slings and arrows, right?
That's totally true. And I bet the listeners, you know, have a good flavor. You know, think about your lives, everyone. And sometimes people will say to me, oh, Linda, I thought when I became more highly evolved, my lives would get easier. Generally not, because the more highly evolved we are, the more we're needed on Earth. So the more we're needed to dig into complicated situations, and our guides want us to evolve even farther, because everybody probably knows Earth is in crisis. So
right.
The more we evolve, the more we can assist the planet.
Exactly. And that's an excellent point, too. And so we need to learn our lessons before we can adequately assist and then ultimately turn around and be guides for those who are still incarnating. So we need to learn our lessons, and they get tougher and tougher as the evolution continues. That makes perfect sense again.
So, yeah, totally.
All right. Well, that's that's a really helpful way of talking about spirit guides and what they can do for us. And they are of extreme help to us in our lifetimes. I think the key, though, for most people is to remember that they're there and to ask them for help, right? Because a lot of people just don't think about their guides. It's not something that comes up in, I guess, day-to-day life, although I would like to see it happen that way.
Correct. And they want us, it's just what you just said, they want us to reach out to them, you know, whether it's out loud or internally. Okay, spirit guide, could you give me some help with X? And then we have to use our intuition and pay attention to circumstances in our life. If we pay close attention to what's coming forward in our life, either, oh, here's a new opportunity, or, oh, I thought I had to go to that class, but the class is closed and I can't get into the class. Okay, maybe you're not meant to take that class. That's
right.
Your guides at work.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It goes back to what I constantly say to people, that everything is purposeful, and I make no exception to that. And also that we have free will. So that is why we need to invite our guides and ask them for help, because although they want to help us and guide us, they are not going to interfere with that. So we have to ask them for help so they can assist us. And
yes.
I think people forget that. And, well, a lot of people don't even know that. And it's one of the things I love about having this venue to talk about these things, to hopefully raise awareness that it's really pretty easy to get help. Just have to ask, right?
That's right. Yeah,
it's
totally.
Wonderful. And when that help comes in, it's just beautiful to behold. It truly is. And we just need to remain awake and aware to what's happening around us. And I know from my experience, the messages, the help, the guidance comes in rather ordinary, mundane, everyday types of events. It's nothing. It's not the thunderclap. It's not the bolt of lightning. That's why we need to be aware and open, and our guides can work so effectively with us when we are in that state of awareness, and that really matters. So,
I think when we trust that our guides are there to help us, we have to reach out to them. And what I always remind myself is, But I don't control the timing. So I might say to my guides, you know, I really need this to happen. So I just keep putting that out and putting that out and putting it out in positive terms. But I don't control whether it happens tomorrow, a week from tomorrow, a month from tomorrow. And that's the tricky part, I think, as humans, too, is to be patient and trust.
Oh, yes. Yes. Patience is in very short supply among the human race.
Exactly.
Everybody wants it now, how they want it, and where they want it, and that's that. And it's very hard to learn that patience because spirit does not work on earthly timeline at all. But like you said, you just keep putting it out there and doing your own work to manifest it, whatever that may be, and trust that it will happen. And it does. It may not have the same appearance you were expecting, but oh, well. So, and one thing I am interested about and learning more of is the soul pods. I know I've always referred to them as a soul family. I guess that a soul pod is a similar, if not the same thing, just by a different term. But soul family, soul pod, you know, what exactly it is, how it works, and how the members of our soul family or pod turn up in our lives. So, yes, and they do, for sure. And
absolutely.
So, Linda, what is a soul pod, if you could explain to our listeners what that's all about?
And just so you know, I'm glad you're saying what you're saying, Kathy, because different teachers and authors and that sort of thing use different terminology. So, yes, soul family and soul pod are one and the same. So, bottom line, to make it simple, as a soul, when we are preparing to incarnate, we are a member of a soul family or a soul pod. Usually, it's somewhere between 10 and 20 souls. Basically, it's kind of like your neighborhood when you were a child or your homeroom, if everybody remembers homeroom. So it's that immediate small group of souls that we incarnate with most often. So, again, approximately 10 to 20 souls, those are the souls that we have had the most lives with. And then, just to try to make it simple, there are immediate adjacent soul groups or soul pods. So, quick example would be I have two children. One of my children is a member of the soul family or soul pod that I'm a member of. The other one of my children, actually the younger of my two children, is in an adjacent soul group. So we have the most lives with the souls in our soul pod, and we have the next most lives, if people understand that crazy English, with members of immediately adjacent soul pods. So those are the souls we know the most often. And, you know, they play all different roles lifetime to lifetime. Your father in life today could have been your child three lifetimes ago. Your best friend in life today could have been your parent or your sibling or your first grade teacher that you adored in another lifetime. So we keep changing places, but we have contracts with these souls. It's like, okay, we're going to come into body together, and we're going to agree. I'm going to agree to help you with some of the learning you intend to have in the lifetime you're about to step into. You're going to help me. And I'm going to add one more piece, just trying to fit all kinds of pieces in short order, if possible. For people listening, please don't think about members of your soul pod as only those people you just resonate with, kind of up one side and down the other. Also think about those people in your soul that you've known in life today who give you the greatest challenge, who are the hardest to relate to. Those can also be members of your soul pod.
I see. Well, that answers a question I was going to ask you, is whether our soul pod relationships are always easy, since we are all in the same homeroom. But I guess if we're going to use that analogy, we didn't get along with everyone in our homeroom either, did we?
That's right. You know, think about the neighbors on your street. if you happen to live on a street. Some of us do, some of us don't. Some of your neighbors, you just find easy people, and you'd run next door to borrow something, or, you know, whatever.
Right.
And others, just, you know, you don't feel as comfortable with. So, you know, I always use the analogy, and I'll just make it short. I struggled for years, to be perfectly honest, people who know me or taken classes with me or, you know, that sort of thing. I struggled with the personality of my mother. She's on the other side now. A lot of people would have said she wasn't an easy personality. But finally, I figured out why I agreed to be, you know, why I created a contract with this soul to be my mother. Because there were things I needed to learn, and I wasn't going to learn them by just being coddled. I had to dig deep in order to find my sense of self, to be able to speak what mattered to me, and I realized, oh, I sort of like hired her and handed her a script and said, please play this role, please read this script. So in subsequent, you know, years, once I figured that out before my mom passed, I acknowledged her. I thanked her. I knew she acted the way she acted for a reason.
Right, right. Yes, like you said, we establish these pre-birth contracts, these soul contracts, if you will, with all the members, with all the members with whom we are going to be incarnating, all the other souls. And we're like actors on a stage, right? Everybody has a different role to play. And those roles change from lifetime to lifetime. But it's always about learning, learning something. We're teaching something, we're learning something, always. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, and absolutely. That's what it's all about. I had an opportunity through one of your group regressions several years ago to the soul energy of my deceased father came through, and I remember asking him what it was like where he was in spirit. And he said something to me that has stuck with me all these years, and I'm talking probably close to 10 years ago. He said, all we're doing is loving and learning, just like that.
Mm-hmm.
That simple. Isn't that great? I mentioned that a few weeks ago when I was teaching a class, a Reiki class, and I mentioned that incident, and it was a beautiful moment. It was, that made the entire regression for me, Linda. It truly did.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome.
Beautiful.
So love, it is, loving and learning. It was, wow, couldn't get any better than that. So now, how are the members of a pod determined? Do they all incarnate at the same time, or are they handpicked by, you know, a higher dimension, or how does that work?
Yes, so a soul pod, when that pod is formed originally, that pod is basically formed or determined by a guide. And when a soul pod comes together, let's just call it for the sake of example 10 souls, then there is one guide that in the beginning of the incarnational journey of the souls in that pod, that one guide for, in this example, all 10 souls, that one guide is the main guide for all 10 members of the soul pod. But we, you know, we grow at different rates. We work on our learning at different rates, because sometimes we dig into lifetimes and really hopefully accomplish the bulk of our life intentions, the bulk of our soul intentions. All of us, you know, you said it, Kathy, we have free will. So at times we don't make the best choices. So in a soul pod, we grow at different rates. But those are the souls we incarnate with the most often. A lot of times people will say, oh, I just want to find my soulmate. I want to find that perfect life partner. So within our soul pod is usually one soul, maybe two souls that we've had the most lives with. That would be the equivalent of what you might call a soulmate, except that might not be a romantic partner. That might be a sibling, might be a child, might be a best friend, might be a grandparent. So we kind of overly romanticize this notion of soulmate.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's something I try to kind of reinforce with people I work with that, yeah, it's the soulmate connotation as this perfect romantic partner is really a myth, I think, as much as we can really know what happens in spirit, but it appears to be a myth from everything I've learned and experienced and, you know, just, I guess, just life. But yeah, it could, like you said, it could be a child, a parent, a grandparent, a friend. It can be any number of configurations. It does not have, and it can be a romantic partner. So, but it doesn't have to be a romantic partner. So I think that's important, too, for people to kind of start looking at that a little differently. You know, take that. That kind of just limits, I think, what a soulmate can do for us if it's only a romantic partner. So, yes. Now,
exactly.
do we tend to, I don't know, I guess incarnate a lot with a certain member of the soul pod? Or is there one, say, for example, that we've incarnated with all the time? Does that not usually happen?
Yes. I would say there is 1 to 3 souls. There are 1 to 3 souls in your soul pod that you've had the most lives with. So, and again, I want to say to people, that often is someone you're really close to in life today. But on occasion, one of those, you know, 1, 2, or 3, I use different terms. So we could call those primary soul companions. At times, again, you contract for your learning to be pushed hard, or for, you know, either they're going to push your learning or you're going to push their learning or both. So it isn't always an easy, smooth relationship. It's really important to know that. And I, you know, I'll also say, because I think people might, a couple of questions and comments popped into my mind. It must be my guides telling me to say a couple things. So let me just say a couple things, because I wonder if people are thinking 2 questions. One is, can we have one of our guides as someone we know in life today that is in body? And the answer is yes. If we have a team of guides, we might know someone in our life. It could be a relative, it could be a friend, it could be a teacher, who is a member of our team of guides. So we can serve as a guide when we're fairly evolved, even if we're still incarnating. Other comment, because I figure people are going to wonder about this, a loved one. Let's just say we had a close relationship with a grandparent growing up. That loved one on the other side can serve as a major guide. So just putting that out there.
I'm glad you did, because actually I actually had this experience yesterday with a client who is very close with her grandfather, who is now in spirit. But during our sessions, her grandfather almost always comes in. And yesterday was no exception. And it always makes her so happy to feel his energy and to hear what he has to say to her. So, and he's clearly one of her guides. So I'm really glad you said that. I think that's important for those out there, and I'm sure there are plenty of you out there listening who have lost a loved one. You haven't really lost them. They're probably still with you, helping you and guiding you as much as they can, as much as you allow. And so that's a beautiful way of looking at it. And it's also a great comfort, I think, to know that. So I'm really glad you brought that up, truly. I think that's a big help for people to know that. Your guides are right on as usual, Linda. Indeed.
I rely on them rather often. So.
Yes, and it's a good thing. It is always a good thing, and I also rely on mine, and I'm always asking them for help, and there are times when I can almost see the eye rolling, like, oh, no, it's her again. Right. Like, anyway. We have pretty much blown through 3/4 of an hour already, and so it's time for us to take a short break. And Linda, you have so much to share with us, and at the risk of stating the obvious, this is clearly your life's work, and even more clearly, your sole purpose. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And for our listeners out there, I have to tell you that Linda is currently teaching a past life regression training class, and so she will have to leave us a bit early today so she doesn't keep her students waiting. So at the end of this, before we go on to break, we're going to be saying goodbye to Linda and thanking you so much for sharing your time, your knowledge, and your wisdom again with us, Linda. It's always a pleasure. It's always a pleasure, as well as an amazing learning experience. Even though I've been working with you and you've taught me over the years, every time we speak, I always learn something new. So that's very cool, and I really appreciate that. So I look forward to having you as a guest again, perhaps when your new book comes out, and I think that's coming out in August, correct? Is that still the date?
That is correct.
All right.
Yeah. And I would love to come back. Yeah.
Oh, I would love to have you back. So we'll just plan on it. And I'm going to talk to tell our listeners about the really fascinating topic of your new book when we come back from break. So we are going to have to take a short break now. And as a reminder, this is Kathleen Johnson at Universal Heart Radio. And we've been talking with my very special guest, Dr. Linda Backman, about your soul's evolution and how you can tap into this information to live a more intentional life on planet Earth. Get in touch with your guides, people. They can be a huge help to you. Linda, thank you so much. And we're going to take a short break. And I'll be back with upcoming events and other items of interest.
Is traditional medicine not working for you? Do you still feel as if your health isn't 100%? Here at the Holistic Medical Center, Dr. Nushin Darvish and the qualified staff look through the dimensions of wellness and start a healing plan prioritized to your needs. Our physicians assess the whole you until complete health is achieved. Get the help you need by visiting drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
To see your life from an angel's perspective, book a personal consultation with Claire Candy Huff, angelic walk-in angel Ariel at Angel Healing House. Candy provides intuitive counseling, Reiki, and angel readings in person in Los Angeles or nationally and internationally via phone or Skype. She will channel the practical tools you need to transform your life. Call now, 831-277-3716, or visit angelhealinghouse.com.
Amber Teal, founder of The Healthy Edge, is bringing you the hit show Healthy Edge Radio, living with power, passion, and purpose. Amber provides the support and tools necessary for you to finally release the weight and emotions that are hidden beneath the weight. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information on how you can take the next step with Amber, visit GetTheHealthyEdge.com.
Your happiness is your choice on Natural Peace Radio. Follow Sarah Van Rieswijk as she addresses the power of emotions. Each month, Sarah covers different topics as she helps listeners activate their energetic spark and create powerful energy and amazing opportunities. Manifest your desires with Natural Peace Radio. For more information on Sarah and her work, visit naturalpeaceliving.com.
Interested in deepening your spiritual practice? The School for Esoteric Studies offers online training to spiritual seekers from all paths of life and individual coaching. Our courses synthesize Eastern and Western spiritual traditions based on meditation, study, and service applied to everyday life. To learn more about our courses and services, please visit www.esotericstudies.net.
The Knowledge Book, currently studied in 39 countries and 15 languages around the world, accelerates our evolution, takes us out of depression, offers universal truth, protects us, and makes us stronger, both spiritually and physically. So if you are interested in The Knowledge Book, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net and tune in to The Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasik on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hello, we're back on Universal Heart Radio with Kathleen Johnson, and you can reach me through my website at www.universalheart.net or on social media. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest, and LinkedIn, and I look forward to connecting with you. Always enjoy connecting with listeners. Thank you so much for coming back. Thanks for staying with us. Yes, I was very sorry to say goodbye to Linda, to Dr. Backman, but she is a very busy woman, and she is currently teaching yet another past life soul regression training class, which I took quite a few years ago. So she's still teaching that and bringing other motivated individuals along into working with people's past lives, which is a very fulfilling and interesting line of work, if you can even call it work. So I would like to talk to you a little bit about some of the upcoming events of Linda's. She is, as I said, very busy, always has much going on. She travels around the world, around the country, educating, doing lectures, doing trainings, and also facilitating past life sessions and between life sessions. So I would like to give you a little bit of a heads up about some of the things Linda has coming up. She has another Shift Network course beginning on May 29th. And those of you who know of Linda may remember she had a Shift Network course back in, I believe it was December. So she's having another one beginning on May 29th. And this one is about the three integral aspects of your soul evolution, and it's about getting daily direction from your guides to discover your soul archetype. So that sounds really fascinating. It's more of an advanced type of course. Her initial course in December was more of a basic course about soul evolution and karma, et cetera, et cetera. So if you're interested in learning more about Linda's upcoming course on the Shift Network, just go to her website at ravenheartcenter.com for upcoming information. It will give you everything you need to know if you're interested in checking that out. And I did mention that Linda's new book is coming out in August, and you can actually pre-order that from Amazon at this time or from the ravenheartcenter.com. And this book is a fascinating topic, and I have her first two books, so I'm really excited to read this one. It's called Souls on Earth: Exploring Interplanetary Past Lives. Now, this is a topic that Linda has been getting into a little bit more in the past few years. Many of her clients that have been coming to her for regressions and between life regressions have turned out to be interplanetary souls who, and what I mean by that, are souls who have had many, if not all, of their incarnations on planets, galaxies, what have you, other than planet Earth. So it's a fascinating topic, and she has done a great deal of research on this matter, as well as guided many, many clients through regressions and who have turned out to be interplanetary souls. The general thinking about that is because our planet is at a very pivotal point in its evolution, and as Linda mentioned earlier in the show, that the Earth really is in crisis right now. Not only the planet itself, Mother Earth, is really hurting, but the human race is in crisis as well as we struggle to move into the new consciousness. So many of the souls that are in body on Earth now are actually interplanetary souls, and they were sent to assist Earth in emerging into the new consciousness, those in other, on other planets and other systems seem to have a higher level of consciousness than we do on planet Earth. So they're sent to assist us as we hopefully move forward. So I'm really looking forward to reading her book. It should be a fascinating read, as are her first two books. So that's coming up. And then Linda is going to be heading for San Francisco, the Bay Area, beginning April 12th, which is just around the corner. She'll be there from April 12th to the 24th for private regression sessions. And I think she still has a few slots available if you're interested, if you're in that area, you want to check it out. I assure you, you will not be sorry. And she's also going to be doing a workshop and private Between Lives Soul Regression Sessions in Cincinnati, Ohio in May 18th to the 21st. So as you can tell, Linda has a very busy schedule coming up. And as for myself, it has been an incredibly busy winter and early spring. I have been teaching. I have been working very briskly with clients, and it has been quite a ride. I have a couple classes coming up, a Reiki 2 class on April 21st. I'm also involved in another Reiki summit in which I am the co-host this time. So I'm very happy and excited about that, and more information will be forthcoming on that probably in a week or so. So anyway, I really appreciate you being with us today. This has been another fascinating adventure into the workings of spirit and our souls, which, of course, is what we are. We are spirit. And I want to thank Dr. Linda Backman again, even though she is not here, for sharing such great information. And I also want to thank all of you for tuning in to Universal Heart Radio with me, Kathleen Johnson. I always have a wonderful time, and today is no exception. I hope you all did, too. And remember, you can reach me through my website at www.universalheart.net, and I would like to stay connected if that works for you. So please join me every second Tuesday at 6 Eastern, 5 Mountain, and 3 p.m. Pacific Time. Our next episode will be May 8th, and we'll have more great topics to help you find your own path to wholeness and wellness from the ground up. In the meantime, remember, take care of your energy, please. Caring for your energy is essential for wellness. So be kind to yourself and remember who you are, a spiritual being having a human experience, not the other way around. See you in May. Have a great night, great day. Take good care. Bye.
You've been listening to Universe Soul Heart Radio with Kathleen Johnson. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and nourish your spirit, mind, and body. Kathleen Johnson draws upon her extensive knowledge of psychology and human behavior to facilitate healing and explore the concept of sensible spirituality. For more information on Kathleen and Universe Soul Heart LLC, or to listen to past shows, visit her website at universesoulheart.net.